1 Kings 18 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18. I believe this is our ninth study in Elijah's life. I guess I can't get out of Mount Carmel here. 1 Kings chapter 18. We looked at last week, getting everything in order. The people answered him not a word. About trying to get the fire of God down from heaven, staying on fire for God. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to look at something else here about the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the groves. Groves, prophet Jezebel's boys didn't show up. They stayed home, but 450 there with Elijah. And boy, you start getting into this stuff, it's just so much lessons and so much doctrine and just all kinds of things for us here in this book right here. Verse 22 said, "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now, let them therefore give us two bullocks." He's going to say, break up the sacrifice. "And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it." You can look at that in your Bible. Verse 23, he says one time right there, "Put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it." Now, why does he say that twice right there? He's going to say it three times. "And call ye on the name of your gods," little g, "and I will call on the name of the Lord," capital Lord, "and the God that answered by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." They said, "That sounds good." "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods," little g, here it is again in the Bible, "but put no fire under." So three times in two verses, Elijah tells these prophets of Baal, don't put no fire under it. The fire is directly connected to the sacrifice. And I went over that, what all that means. God that accepting that sacrifice. Christ being our sacrifice. And the first mention of worship in your Bible, this is a big worship service, what they're getting ready to have. And the God that answers by fire is going to be the one and true living God. And so what they're saying here is the one that answers by fire is accepting the worship that's going to go on right here. So the first mention of worship in your Bible is in Genesis chapter 22. And the Bible says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." That's the first time the word worship is mentioned in your Bible. Genesis 22 is one of them wells in the Bible. Y'all have heard me preach on that, teach on that a whole lot. First time the word love is mentioned. It's the first time the word lamb is mentioned. The first time the word worship is mentioned. And it's a picture of God the Father, God the Son, going up Mount Calvary. That's even the place where Christ was even crucified there, that hill, in Genesis chapter 22 with Abraham and Isaac. "And come again to you, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took what in his hand? The fire in his hand, and a knife. And they went both of them together." So the fire was connected all with the worship and the sacrifice there. That's what this whole thing is about. Who is the true living God? He's the one that's going to answer by fire. Of course, the sacrifice is going to be right. But Elijah tells these boys three times in two verses, put no fire under it. Put no fire under it. We read over things. And we notice here in these two verses the representation. Who's got the big numbers right here? You got one man, Elijah. The people don't know what way to go. They're trying to worship God, worship Baal. They don't know what's going on. You got 450 prophets of Baal. So from the outside looking in, who's got all the numbers on their side? Well, the prophets of Baal. And that's nothing uncommon. I mean, even in 1 Kings chapter 19, God's going to tell Elijah, "Look, I had 7,000 down there." You say, "Well, 7,000 is quite a bit." Not compared to a million people that live there. That's not that many, 7,000. And the numbers are off today. I mean, there's a very, very, very few people who are really, really serving God, doing things the way God says to do it. God's always been in the minority. His people has always been a remnant, and there'll be a remnant until the Lord comes back. So the numbers is off. So you're looking on the outside looking in, they got 450 prophets of Baal here. They got prophets of Jezebel's got her crew down at her table eating. All the people don't know. So Elijah's just one man on this Mount Carmel, seemingly outnumbered. And then you also see here that the national approval is with the prophets of Baal. I mean, the Ahab and Jezebel, they don't care if they worship God, as long as they worship Baal too. But now when they took a stand for God, then that's when Elijah becomes the trouble of Israel. And our nation and our media and everything that we're bombarded with, it's all right if you serve God. The Super Bowl ads, Jesus gets us, you know, that seems so appealing to us. But what that's saying is, what that's saying behind the scenes is, Jesus gets us. It's okay if you want to be homosexual. Jesus gets you to stay homosexual. It's okay if you still want to do drugs and alcohol and live in sin. Jesus understands. That's the undertone behind that kind of stuff that bombards our media all the time and bombards us. And people watch that and they say, oh, that sounds good. That feels good. And that's a good Jesus. But a Jesus that says repent, a Jesus that says there must be a change in your life, that kind of Jesus, we're very, very remnant on the side. So the national approval is with the prophets of Baal. The numbers are with prophets. And if you look from the outside looking in, they had big temples. They had a lot of money. And you got Elijah here. He's been laying out in the desert. He's been alone for all this time. He seems rather poor and beat down from the outside looking in. You say, well, these Catholic churches have these big cathedrals. I mean, you go into some of these cities, it's multi-million dollar places. And some of these churches are just big time. Joel Osteen's church in Houston is the old Houston Rockets Arena. I mean, that is a big time outfit. There's a lot of money that goes into that. So on the outside looking in, you say, man, they must be doing good. They got big, beautiful buildings. They got a lot of money. So from all that point looking outside, the world would say, man, that looks pretty good. Then a little old church at the mouth of the holler, bless their hearts, they're struggling. But Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, he said, you say you have need of nothing. He said, but you are poor and blind and wretched and naked. And the church that Jesus, the only church in Revelation that Jesus commanded was the little old small outfit holding on to his word and his way. You're going to have a church, and y'all know this, preaching to the choir this morning. You're going to have a church that preaches God's word, that has a man that stands for something. There ain't going to be a big flock of crowd come out here now, folks. They just ain't going to do it. That's just the way God's always worked and the way God's always been. People don't want to hear, Brother Glenn, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God's book says, do they? So you see the representation there. I'm going to get on something here in a minute. And then you see what I call the dissimulation, the fakeness that is there. Fraud always abounds in these movements, and these fake movements. And three times, what I want to get on here, three times he says, put no fire under it, because he knows they're fakes and they're frauds. Now, let me tell you what, I researched this and found out what the prophets of Baal would do. And they would deceive the people so bad. They would build these big altars, like on Mount Carmel. They'd build these big altars to Baal. And they would dig underneath the altar little dugouts. And one of their priests would sneak in that dugout, and they would stand back in all the people, and they would have that offering there, and they would cry out to Baal, or cry out to whatever god they're going to cry out to. And one of those priests underneath that altar, one of those dugouts, would light that thing. And it would just boom. I guess they had it some sort of accelerant on it where it would catch on fire. So they would pray, and then some priest would say, now. And all of a sudden, that priest had to be a cue for that prophet's bell underneath that altar in that dugout. When on that cue, he would hit that thing, and that thing would light up. And everybody would go, oh, Lord, that is the prophet's bell. That's why Elijah tells him three times in two verses in front of everybody there, don't put no fire under it. Don't be sneaking around and put no fire under it. We're going to see who the true God is. That's why they're going to cry out and cut themselves and all this mess, because he says, I'm going to take out your tricks. It's like this Peter Popoff and Benny Hinn. These people ain't even saved, folks. Kenneth Copeland. They have people in the crowds. that wear ear mics, and they question these people when they come in. They find out, well, I've got degenerative disc disease. Well, who don't? I've got bad knees. Well, who don't? And then they'll get up there and they'll say, oh, somebody here's got bad disc and bad knees. It's you. Oh, how'd you know? And they'll come up and do all this stuff. And people are so gullible and naive that they fall for this stuff and send these clowns money. That's just like the prophets of Baal. That's what they do. They just fleece people, fleecing people. And that's what they were doing right here. Nothing has ever changed. Those people do. People fall for the same old tricks over and over. But Elijah's saying here, I'm going to keep you all from starting a strange fire. That's what he's saying. He said, you're not going to start a strange fire. We're going to test this out, who is really of God and who really ain't of God. And I got to thinking about this for a minute. This is a Bible principle. And that's one of the things in Sunday school, we take God's Word, we teach doctrine, we teach application, we teach Bible principles from God's Word. Because in 2023, dear people, you and I are living in a time, there's strange fires all around us. All around us. And old Kevin's mean and he calls things out. No, I don't want us to be fooled and duped by the tricks of the devil. And you're going to be the lone bird that's going to fly alone and say, well, he's the fuddy-dud. No, you just need to test things out by God's book. And Elijah's going to say, we're going to see who is the God, who's the God, who's got the real fire. And I'm going to show you people how to discern between Baal's old false fire and the real fire of God. And he's going to show them and right here in this chapter. And I got to thinking about something in Leviticus. It's one of the hardest books you try to read. There's so much in there. In Leviticus 9, chapter 9, verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Watch this. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face. The offering was right there. Moses and Aaron came out. A fire came down. All the people saw it. That was of God. Then in the next chapter, Leviticus 10, here's a story that you may have heard preached on and talked about. And Nadab and Abihu, the boys, the sons of Aaron, the high priest, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire, the Bible says, before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So they done something in Leviticus 9. The fire fell. The people shouted. The people fell down. The people worshiped the Lord. Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's boys, said, hey, that's pretty good. Let's try it. So they go in, get their censers, go in and did something that wasn't commanded of the Lord, and they caused the fire. But the Bible says this was a strange fire, and the word strange there means foreign. It means it's not right. It comes from somewhere else. It don't come from God. And the Bible says, and there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. That's Aaron's voice. Well, what if God started killing people now for strange fire? Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. God don't share glory with nobody. Not man, not a church, nothing. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. That's his voice. Aaron didn't even say nothing. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, this is these boys' cousins. Get your cousins, come over here. Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. Because God burned them up, said, carry them out. Now, here's what I asked you this morning. Ask me something. I got to thinking about something, looking at. How do we detect something that's a strange fire? Because Elijah's cutting this out right here. He said, look, three times in two verses. And Garrett, I've read this stuff and meditate on this, and I have never thought about this before. That's why it's so important to read and study God's book, because God just brings something new to you. I mean, just brings things out to you. And he says three times in two verses, in verse 23 and in verse 25, put no fire under it. Put no fire under it. So how do we detect a strange fire? How do we know if something is a strange fire? It's right here, trying to tell you, right in the Bible. It's a biblical principle. find all through the Word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation, strange fire. And if any group of people in any time need to know, Ricky, what a strange fire is, it's us. Because in 2023, things are getting real strange. And it's going to keep getting real strange. Some of these young people, they're here this morning, and why we drill the things that we drill, because we want them to know what is of God and what ain't of God. And strange fires. So what happened with the strange fire? Well, we look here right off the bat in 23 to 25, how to detect a strange fire. Wrong people was starting a strange fire. These people was the wrong people to start a fire, just like Nadab and Abihu started a strange fire. They weren't supposed to start that fire. That was only the high priest. Wrong people. It was not their job. It was not Nadab and Abihu's job to go in and start a fire. The Bible says in Exodus 30, verses 7 through 10, says the iron was to burn the incense. It's a strange fire because it was brought forth by somebody who wasn't even supposed to start the fire. The prophets of Baal ain't supposed to start no fire. They can't start a fire because they're not right. They're not saved. They're not converted. They're not qualified. They don't know God. How can they start bringing out a fire from God when they don't even know God? There's an interesting verse, text, in Acts that kind of relates to this right here. Paul went down to a place in the first European convert was Lydia. Right there, the first European convert got converted in Acts chapter 16. Then Paul goes down and he runs in this woman. Right, there's three converts in Acts chapter 16 that start the church of Philippi, where we got the book of Philippians from. Three converts. You've got a woman there by Riverside, a dyer of purple, Lydia's first European convert. The second was this devil-possessed woman. And the third was an old rusty, burned-out jailer. That's what Paul used to start a church in Philippi. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. I mean, she had the power of the devil on her, and there is power in that. And she was well known in that community. Everybody knew her, and she made a lot of money for her handlers. The same followed Paul and us and cried. So she shouted and made a noise, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Now I'm going to ask you something. Did she say anything wrong? Did she say anything wrong right there? "These men are the servants of the Most High God." That's absolutely correct. True. Yeah. Was she causing a scene about it? Yes, she was welling on. Everybody was seeing her. Everybody was gathering around. And she did this for many days. I mean, she followed them around many days. Did she say anything wrong right there? No. "Which show unto us the way of salvation." Did she say anything wrong? Was Paul and Timothy and Titus, all those guys preaching the gospel, they was preaching the right gospel. So she said the right thing, and she said their message is right. And she's shouting and she's saying that's the right thing. Well, why is Paul grieved about it then? Why is Paul messed up about this then? Why? Because he knows he's going to leave there, and he knows she ain't converted because she's got no fruit whatsoever in her life. And he don't want these people to think, look, just because she says this, she's right. She's saying the right things, and she's back, but she's not right. And so Paul publicly rebukes her in front of everybody. Why? And she gets saved because of this. She was not converted. Listen, just because somebody gets on YouTube or just because somebody gets on a Facebook, check them out. I mean, a man that leaves his wife and runs around with women, you don't listen to a clown like that. A man that's fleecing people of God's money, he might be saying the right thing. You don't listen to that kind of stuff. Check things out. This woman was unconverted. There was no evidence of a change. She had no qualification to tie herself to the Apostle Paul. Because she wasn't even right. She was unconverted and there was an unholy spirit behind her. Listen, the devil ain't going to put his preachers out here with black fingernails and looking like a demon holding up a satanic Bible in the Baptist church on Sunday morning because people got hope. They got more sense than that. He's going to put people in here that ain't converted. They're going to say the right things. But their life ain't going to show the right thing. Am I connecting up with y'all? If their life don't show it, put it off. The life, it ain't what the mouth says. If the talk and the walk line up, man, you can say that's right. But if the talk and the walk don't line up, I don't want to hear it. That ain't a God. I don't care. What, listen, the Bible says she cried saying, these boys are going to cry and say, oh, Belle, oh, Belle, oh, Belle. They're going to be so sincere, but I'm afraid we're like Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown walked away, got beat 184 to nothing, and he said, I can't believe, Lucy, we got beat. We were so sincere, but they got beat 184 to nothing. It don't matter about sincerity. Is it line up with God's book? These people were starting a wrong fire. Listen, if it's started by somebody or something that ain't right with God, ain't biblically right, that's a strange fire. Have you ever been around strange fires? I'm going to tell you, as a preacher that's been in a lot of churches, I've seen a lot of strange fires. I've seen people get up and start fires that ain't of God. That's not of God. I've seen them shout, that ain't of God. I've seen them run around the church, that ain't of God. I've seen them get up and try to preach, that ain't of God. Starting wildfires. Wildfire starting. Do you know how to detect the wildfire getting started? That she had an unholy spirit. Paul did not want to be identified with this. He wanted to be unidentified with that. He said, I got to do it. It grieved him. You know, I can imagine him walking and hearing this saying, oh, it just grieved him. But he did not want to be, because she was going to start a wildfire. That place didn't know the Lord. And he didn't want the representation of the Lord to be with this woman who was, yeah, she's saying the right things, but she's still dabbling over here in her divination. And so he turned around and he hurt her feelings. And sometimes we need her feelings hurt. Yeah. You never got saved, man, hurt your feelings. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
You never got right with God and somebody not hurt your feelings. But, so wrong people can start a wrong fire, a strange fire. And I've seen it, and I know that you've seen it. And listen, you got... I remember preaching in revival one time, and this fellow, bless his heart. I preached on hell. That's where the Lord led me, and it was a crowd of people down at Lonnie Ratliff's church. It's been several years ago, and poor fellow jumped up at the very end at altar call. Said, I mean, it was quiet in there. You could drop a pin, Ricky. We was getting ready to have altar call, and it was just the Spirit of God was just there. There was conviction there, and this old fellow, bless his heart, on the right side of the church, jumps up and says, I got something I got to say. I said, you need to be quiet right now. That's what I said. I said, you need to be quiet right now. And guess what? Nobody come forward. Zapped everything out. God just walked out. And I believe he meant well, but I believe he was very ignorant. And I believe because his ignorance, he hindered somebody from being saved. Now, after he'd done that, all people could think about was, that. And then we try to get things going and had a little altar call. Then somebody else back here said, Lord, laid a song on my heart. And they wanted to bell her out their song. And we was standing there and everybody's sciatic nerve was hurting and your kidneys was going and the fire was popping out everywhere. And let's just go to the house. Am I making any sense to anybody? Wrong fire. Wrong fire. So wrong people start the wrong fire. And you know, wrong instruments can start the wrong fire. They come there. Here they are. They got their fire. They want their peace. And you ain't going to put fire under this. When Nahab and Abihu's boys, when those boys came, Glenn, they brought their own censers. That's not what the Bible says that they used to start the fire. The censers, the instruments that they were supposed to use had to be oil, had to have the oil on it in the temple, had to be, the high priest had to come from them. It didn't have that. Where's that at in the Bible? That's in Exodus chapter 40, verse 9. God said, this is what you're going to use. This is the type of instruments they got to be, have oil on them to start the fire. And it had to be God's oil. God, everything is left, God shows this. So they had to be touched. That oil represents what, people? The Spirit of God. So things have to be done God's way, God's means, by God's method. They're going to use their own thing, do their own thing. And we see that everywhere where we look at right now. Well, we'll do this. We'll get a big crowd in here. And we'll... there's a church down Pipeville. They tying it into March Madness, you know. And everybody, well, that's cute and that's fun. There ain't no God in that. God don't bless stuff like that. Where's that other place in the Scripture? Y'all know this, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. God never said it goes on no cart. God said the priests are to carry the ark.
That's right, sir.
And brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And you know what's going to happen? Uzzah's going to touch the ark. He's going to die. All the people's going to say, what happened? Because they're trying to do things their way and not God's way. And they're going to try to start a wildfire right here. And God intervenes. Many times in the Scripture, God intervenes and says, that's not right. That's not of God. So the wrong people, my friends, can start a strange fire. And you take the wrong instruments or the wrong means, bringing something else could start a fire. I'm going to show you something else right here too. They just had a fire in Leviticus 9. And then Leviticus 10, they're going to try to start their own fire. That's not what God's timing was. Did you know that? The fire was supposed to be in there on the Day of Atonement. That not, they're in there at the wrong timing, trying to do things out of step, out of time with God. It don't work that way. God moves when God wants to move. God's got a season and God's got a time. You know what? Listen. When you got saved and I got saved, there was a window and a season opened up to us by God. And I believe this. And because you just don't get saved anytime you want to get saved. And you don't get right with God anytime you don't get right. God opens up a season and God opens up a time and He deals with you and deals with me. He says, now during this season, this time, I don't know how long it is for people. That's God's business. And God says, I'm going to give this old guy, give this old gal, this window of opportunity to get right with me. Outside that window, you and I ain't going to get right with God because salvation is totally of the Lord and having fellowship with God is of the Lord. But God does things on God's timing. But they're going to do their own timing and their own way. And it's out of step and out of time with God. And they're going to try to start something. They're trying to start a fire that's strange, that's foreign. And they're going to get struck down for it. And Moses is going to say, "Don't, Aaron, you hold your peace. Don't run your mouth about this because God done this and you know it wasn't right." And Aaron ain't going to say a word about it. Ain't going to get his cousins in there. Boy, I tell you right now, that's tough, ain't it? Could you imagine that? You know they didn't do right, but you got to hold your peace. You're going to tell them don't even go out, don't even cry about it. Man, God's serious about what He says, ain't He? But they're going to do it on the wrong time. You know who else in the Bible stepped out on his wrong time and God had mercy on him? Was old Simon Peter. In John 18, the Bible said, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant, cut off his ear, his right ear. That means he tried to cut his head off with his sword. He attempted murder right there in front of all kinds of witnesses. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword to thy sheath. Put your sword up, Peter. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink? You know what? Jesus had told Peter, Peter, this is coming, I pray for you. Peter was armed wrong, wasn't he? He was armed wrong. He should have been armed in prayer. He should have been armed with the Spirit of God. He should have been armed, but he was armed wrong. He didn't need that sword. So many times you and I go, we're armed wrong. We're armed wrong. And his attitude was wrong. Jesus didn't want this fellow to lose his right ear. So he went arm wrong, and he went with the wrong attitude, and because his arm wrong and his attitude was wrong, Jason, his actions was wrong, and that's the way you and I are every time. We try to get away from God, step outside of God, out of time with God, and then Peter's going to end up by what? A strange fire later on. He's going to get messed up. And he cut off a man's ear, right ear, which right in the Bible is always a symbol of strength, always a symbol of authority. So he cut off a man's right ear. And faith come by hearing by the Word of God. The man needs his ear. He needs to hear. And I have cut people's spiritual ears off, and I'm sure you have too. But they won't hear us because we've done something arm wrong. We've done something with the wrong attitude. Our actions was wrong. We cut a man's ear off, and because we was out of time with God, tried to start a strange fire. We'll end up in a strange fire. Because Peter's going to end up by the fire of the world and cuss a little teenage girl out, and you know the rest of the story. But Jesus is going to restore him and help him with that. So these boys right here in Leviticus 9, like these fellows right here, they don't know God. They're trying to start something foreign to God. They try to fool the people. And then they're going to try to use instruments that's not blessed of God. That they're going to try to bring in outside means. I told you about they dug out those little holes to sneak around and start that fire. I'm telling you right now, when we're going to see it, if the Lord don't come back, we're going to see these people do some crazy stuff. I mean, that stuff that used to go on years ago in Africa and Haiti and in the jungle, it's here now. I mean, all this stuff you're seeing in front of you now, it's bled over here from from those other areas. And then you put in the 1970s and 80s with PTL and all this stuff flooded our TVs, and people sit and watch that, and it wasn't called out a lot of churches, and it's just kind of just got in here. We got strange fire going everywhere. It's not of God. If you say anything about it, well, you're a fuddy-dud, you're judging, you just get attacked. No, it's not of God. It starts strange fires. Nahab and Abihu was the wrong people, just like these prophets of Baal. Nadab and Abihu tried to use outside means, wrong instruments, just like these people right here. Nahab and Abihu was off-timing. That was not the way God does things. Just like these people right there, they're going to cry all day long. Elijah's going to mock them. He's going to call them out. You said, well, we shouldn't be that way. Well, John the Baptist seen them coming one time. He said, what are you trying to get baptized for? Who are you? Well, you ain't changed a bit. He said, you old generation of vipers and adders, show forth fruit, meat for repentance. Show that there's been a change in your life. You said people now, a whole grove of family walk off, out on you, Facebook on you, everything else. But that's just the way it works, ain't it? That's the way God works. But they tried to do something here in the wrong authority. They didn't have no authority to do this right here. According to Leviticus 16 and 12, the high priest was the only one to burn incense on coals that he took from the brazen altar. He brought the ashes over. Not just any fire was to activate that incense, which represents prayers, but fire from the altar. I've looked all this stuff up. And they was authorized to do this, and they started their own fire. They was not even had the authority to do that. So I went back two chapters from Leviticus 10. I went back to Leviticus 9 to 8 to where all this fire started at first place. And I found something interesting, and I just wrote down a few, but they several of them. Leviticus 8:5, and Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. Leviticus 8:9, and he put the mitre upon his head and also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront. Did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Leviticus 8:13, and Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats on them and girded them with girdles and put bonds upon them. Listen to this. As the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses, Leviticus 8:29, and Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord for the ram of consecration. It was part as the Lord commanded Moses. God had commanded Moses. It was to work through Moses. Work through Moses. Moses would tell Aaron and they would carry these things out. They skipped that whole process. They said, well, you know, I know God commanded Moses, but you know, I'm just smart as Moses. I'm just as equipped as Moses, and I'm just going to go in there and we can do this our own way and our own thing. Well, they died. They got burned up right here because there's the wrong authority. They didn't have the authority to do. God had set Moses up here to do this. God had chose Moses to do this. Listen, God always leads through the right man. Always. A local church sets up. There'll be a pastor there. God leads through that man. He leads through that man. And that man, he'll give him the right message. God always leads through the right man. Now, we hate that. We do. Our flesh hates that.
Yeah.
They hate that. Because we want to do it our way. But God has set it up. It goes through the man, right? And it goes through the right motive. The man has got to have the right motive. He's got to have the right method to get the people to the right place. I wrote that down. God leads through the man with the right message. Listen, with the right motive and the right method to get people to the right place. Now, you say, Brother Kevin, why do you call singers up here? Why do you get young preachers? I very rarely open up the floor. Why? Because I try to want no bunch of crazy wildfire to jump out. Now, some of y'all been church members here 10 years. Listen, you know what of God. You know, people get up and say, I got a testimony. It's of God. If God wants Jason Burke. If God wants Jason Burke to give a testimony, he's going to give a testimony whether Brother Kevin calls on him or not. If it's of God, he'll get up, he'll give a testimony. It'll be edifying the Lord. It'll edify the church. And it'll be right. Whether Brother Kevin says, Jason Burke, will you give a testimony? If God's laid on Jason Burke to do it, Jason Burke will do it. And it'll be right. Right? If God lays on Glenn to do it, it'll be Glenn. It'll be right. I'm just using these folks for an example. But how many people, when you see in these churches, will draw things out of people? Yeah, listen, I've seen it so many times, and I know you have too. I preached in a church one evening, and bless their hearts, this woman got up and went on 10 minutes about medical marijuana in the church. That's not of God. That's a strange fire. Now, we laugh, but that's what she went on about. How the benefits of medical marijuana, and God put the herbs in the ground. And I'm sitting on the front row where Brett's sitting, and I got to get up and preach. And I'm wanting to slap, number one, the preacher for opening up the floor to nuts, and then go back there and slap her, because then I got to get up and preach. And look at everybody. So I got to get up and preach. You can sit there and pout, and you sit there and cross your arms, and Kevin's got to get up and smile and preach, and have my mind straight right. And I think, Lord, you know, but you got to expect those things to happen. And you've seen it, and I've seen it. And that's not of God, dear people. That's not of God. And everything that preaches, everything that hacks, everything that shouts, everything that sings, man, that's just not of God. Everything is not of God. There's strange fires that'll pop up. The devil comes right in here every Sunday morning, every Wednesday. He'll come right on in here. Take his seat, man, and do what he can do to distract, do what he can do to cause wildfires. And he uses our emotions against us. Everybody's emotionally wired up differently. Some people, they're more emotional than others. That's all right. But the devil uses our emotions against us so many times, he'll pop up wildfires everywhere in the world. Amen. I love when people shout at the shouts of the Lord. I love when people sing when the singing's on and it's of the Lord. But listen, if a fellow sings in church and he's living like a devil all week long, that's not of God. Amen. If a fella gets up and preaches and he's unqualified by the Bible and he ain't living right, man, that ain't of God. Amen. That's the wrong person. That's a strange fire. If we're trying to bring in things to get us a little crowd in here, and it's like this innocent, Brother Kevin, it's innocent, but it starts a little fire, that's a strange fire, not of God. That's like big on the dugouts under the offering and trying to set the thing on fire so we can fool the people and so they'll follow after us. That's what's going on every day all around us. There has to be the right authority in life. Anytime they got to be somebody, God puts it that way, that's in the place. It's not a dictator, but the God moves through a man. Amen? That's the way God moves. Now, the right motive's got to be there too. These guys right here wasn't doing anything to glorify God in Leviticus 9 and 10. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, they're not trying to glorify the God of heaven. They're trying to fool the people and show themselves as somebody as a prophet of Baal. That's not of God. The whole motive right there was to glorify themselves and to glorify what they're doing. Listen, how do you test something if it's of God or not? Who gets the glory out of it? Who really gets the glory? If a man gets the glory, it's not of God.
No, it's not.
If a church building gets the glory, it's not of God. God don't share glory with nobody. No. If a group of singers gets the glory, it's not of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all you do to the glory of God. We pray over somebody up here. If God moves in their life, God will get all. That's how we know it's of God. God will get all glory out of it. One way or the other, God will get out of glory. If man starts getting attention from it, if man starts getting some glory out of it, or these people, he's got the praying. I've heard this stuff. Oh, he's got the gift of healing hands. Get in church and learn the Bible. There ain't no such thing. Get in here and hear the Bible. There's only one thing. God brings the healing, not no man's hands. Amen, preacher. Hey, come on. Let's get this right. Let's get rid of these old folk fables. Get into Sunday school, read the Bible, study the Bible, learn what God says. That brings a false fire. False fire. God gets the glory out of it. Amen? God gets the glory out of it. Their motive was to start the fire. Their motive now to start this fire was to bring them glory. Bring them glory. Just like we see all around. It brings the man glory. It brings the organization glory. They had very sinful hearts. Now, I kind of got thinking about this. In Leviticus chapter 10, right after they died, right after God struck them down, according to verses 9 and 10, now listen to what the Bible says in Leviticus 9 and 10. Do not drink wine nor strong drink Right after God does this, Moses tells the cousins to go in there and get them. God says through Moses, and Moses is telling them, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. Don't be drinking, going in that tabernacle, lest you die. I don't have to get on the drink and alcohol, but there is a movement right now that Christians can social drink. It kind of comes and goes. It's kind of popular now, and people want they won't come and argue with you about that because they want to be a drunk. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. God says, do it now. This is the way it is. Forever throughout your generations. And that ye may put difference now between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. He said, don't be going in here drinking. Don't be nipping around now coming in here. And he says this directly connected to Nadab and Abihu and them bringing strange fire in. So I got to thinking about something. Maybe Nadab and Abihu was under the influence when they went in here and done this. Maybe they was under the wrong influence. And Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, what's that mean? Well, if you go down here beside Food City, it says liquors and spirits on it. Spirits, you go over here, these liquor stores, there's spirits on there because there is a spirit behind that stuff.
Sure.
And it'll make you act differently than you normally act. Anybody gets drunk, their inhibitions drop, or anybody gets high, their inhibitions drop. They act differently than what they would normally act if they was in their right mind. Amen? It's common sense, right? So Paul says, be not drunk with wine, be you filled. If you're filled with the Spirit of God and you're saved, you should act differently than what you used to act, right?
Amen.
There should be a difference there made about you. You should say things differently than you would say before. You're differently when God moves in you and you're filled with the Spirit of God. So they was under the wrong influence when they was in there. They was the wrong people to be in there. They're using the wrong instruments in there. They're using things brought in there of God, the touch of God. They're under the wrong motive in there. And God just wipes that crowd out and says, because you're starting to start a strange fire. Listen, there's people that are under the wrong, I'm talking spiritually speaking, not drinking wise, but I'm sure there's some of them. There's people that's under the wrong, their influence wrong, buddy. They got a bad spirit about them. And when they come and start something, or come and they'll start a wild, wild fire on you. Paul says, or in Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Acceptable. What's acceptable unto God? God is very, very particular about how He is to be worshipped. Very particular about the things that God does. He's very, very, very particular about it. And there's fakes and frauds and phonies and fires all around. And we as God's people, Jason, have got to be able to discern what is of God and what ain't of God. Can you get where you're picking up what I'm putting down this morning? What Sunday school? And it might be, they might be saying the right things. Bless your hearts, they might be trying to go the right way. But if it ain't of God, dear people, it'll start a wrong fire. Right? And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, if you hang around and be someplace I've been to, you'll see some strange fires break out. Some crazy things break out when people come and because they're influenced by something that ain't of God. Well, how do you detect this? What does Elijah do? And we'll get into this next week because I ain't got time. But one of the things that Elijah does is he calls it out from the get-go and says, don't be doing this three times. Don't be doing this starting no wildfires. Then Something Elijah's going to do is he's going to repair that altar. He's going to get that altar fixed up right. And we'll look next week about what all that altar represents. He's going to have water poured on that. Water represents the Word of God. We got to be saturated, dear people, with this. Saturated in this day which we live. And know what's right and what ain't right. And then when something ain't right, we need to know what we need to do to get it right. Right? Right. Because we don't want no strange fires. I won't be able to detect a strange fire. That didn't come from God. That's not of God. Amen. I don't want our people to walk around in this utter spiritual ignorance out here. Amen. Let's stand this